This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith. You're with Kathy Shappas.
Hey, everyone.
And our guest in the studio is designer Romeo Hunt, who has a luxury contemporary focus, does some amazing outerwear, and he's a member of the CFDA. Romeo, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your brand. What do you do?
Well, you know, it all started off with a few pieces. It was a few silhouettes that I started off with when I was like about the age of 25, I think. And I was working luxury retail at the time. And one thing I used to do, I used to always pay attention to like my clients and what the little tedious things that they would point out in the fitting room. And when I first started making my first few pieces, it was kind of like they were like my guinea pigs. I would test it out on them and see what their feedback and see what they like. And then those were the first few pieces that I actually started a collection off with.
That's a great way to start.
Yeah, yeah. Great to have guinea pigs.
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry. And not to
no,
say it in that
true.
Way,
it's
but
good.
You know that I think that I recommend to every designer to at least work behind either a luxury department store or another designer. Everyone always says they always recommend work under a designer, or just get a feel of the industry. I also worked in the editorial world for some time, and I did styling, so I kind of got my feet wet before I started my first collection. With those few pieces, I went up for, I believe it was a TV, it was like a TV show. I don't remember the name now. I don't remember the name. It'll come to me. I went for the casting, and the casting was a long line and everything. I came up with my few pieces. I had a fit model, and I kind of blew away all the the casting director, and it was a few people behind the show that just all came over to my booth, and it just caused a whole big scene. And they was like, we want you on the show, and we're gonna call you tonight. Like, does it matter in the time? I was like, oh yeah, I was very excited, but they never called me. So I had those few pieces, and I was like, this it just was meant to be. I just started from there, and the first celebrity that took notice of the brand and was Zendaya, and she wore a few of my pieces for her press week. And from since then, it's just been like, we met with a lot of great department stores, and from there, it just was kind of like a roller coaster. Fashion just kind of sucks you in. Once you start, it's just get in, you can't get out. It's like addiction.
It's a current.
Yeah.
You get pulled.
Yeah, you get pulled in. So
sometimes you get drowned, but yeah.
So that's how I started, and from there, just I'm very fortunate, to dress a lot of great people. Tommy Hilfiger is my mentor, so it's really, really fortunate and blessed for those things to kind of like keep me going and sustaining.
I was at your recent Men's Fashion Week show. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the show. I loved that you had dogs in the show.
Oh, puppies.
That was fun. Your show was fun. The audience was engaged with the show. Mm-hmm. They were curious to see what was coming out next, mm-hmm. which is not something you get with every runway show. A lot of times people just start to tune out after the first like two or three looks. It's like, what is this? Do I have to sit here for this whole thing? Yeah. That is not what was happening at your show. There was great energy.
I think that's something that with every show, I always like when I get over, I'm sorry, but it's certain styles or like certain trends or things that's in the industry, I just get over it a little bit. And then I've been going through a lot of like different designers or even established designers been like doing the same thing I do each season. So I always like to do something that's unexpected. I always like to push the needle. I always like to challenge myself and say, I did this already. I did this the best of my ability. So I'm on to the next. Or like, I just love to keep key details and silhouettes that I'm attached to, such as like, the poncho is always there, and their poncho kind of evolved into a trench coat poncho this season. And the denim jacket, I always play with denim. So I kind of wanted to mix, street with formal and kind of give it a splash of glam. So this season was very much a kind of like from day to night, but together. And the this was my first collection with a balance of men's and women's looks. So this was kind of like the brother and sister story, and it was very, very cohesive. If you notice the blazers,
was it during
with the men's
women's
version.
Or was it during the men's fashion week? Because now I'm confused.
It was women's.
It was during women's.
It was women's, okay. But you know, now it's so confusing to everyone because right. The men's is kind of like merged in with the women's for
there,
New York.
There was no breather. It went from one to the other. Yeah, there were shows in between them.
I think it was really exhausting for the editors and like for the publications. Yeah. But we pulled it together and I was happy. You know, all the reviews that everyone's been saying, like, this is the best show for New York Fashion Week, the best show for New York Fashion Week. And I'm happy with the show. I'm really confident with it. You know, this season, I just want to dress the girl up a little bit more and still remain being street and, you know, just adding some glam to it.
And you did it. I mean, it's total street mixed with luxury contemporary.
Yes.
It's totally love all the Buffalo check influences. And the fringe is like, what inspired you to do the fringe? Fringe is
the
fabulous.
Fringe, well, for my spring show, it was one blazer. It was a crop blazer that was complete with the fringe hem. And once it walked out, I heard the gasp of the audience. Like, the audience was like, oh, I was like, okay, they love the fringe. Everyone's like kind of retweeting, posting everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I never really did anything with fringe before. But this season, I was like, you know what? Let's give them some more fringe. And then with, you know, touching that whole kind of like glam, adding glam, a little bit more glam to this collection. I was like, you know, I want the girl to be a little bit more girly, a little bit, because we always mix feminine and masculine, but I feel like this show was a balance between, it was the men's wear meets women's wear, and a lot of the jackets were kind of like the men's version, then you've seen the women's version, so you kind of see that whole big, like, that area where why I started to do a men's collection, because most of the women's pieces were kind of unisex. So this collection, I think, told that story of, like, you know, the pieces are, like, whatever you make it. Like, you take it and you make it your own. You style it however you want, you know?
But it's that fine line of fun with, you know, kind of animation with the luxury that, I mean, because there's, I think it was this season, because I was looking at the shows, the ivory trench with the red piping that came out, like, over her shoulders.
The ivory trench with red piping.
It's kind of fabulous. I know I looked at it last night, but it was great. I mean, I just, you know, where do you get your inspiration, or do you look back at certain decades, or what?
I do sometimes. This collection has a combination of a lot of travel. I traveled. I did a show in Nigeria, in Lagos, and I was inspired by, like, the beautiful fascinators, and I was thinking of, like, how can I make these fascinators a little bit more street. So we did.
Is this like the hat fascinator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I worked with a great milliner by the name of Anthony Maxwell, and we came together and we, you know, it's an old, you know, me and Maxwell has been friends for, like, I don't even know how long, but I thought it was perfect timing. And
the feathers were fantastic.
Yeah, and it just kind of gave it that, it was really nice. I think that was the unexpected thing, too. Like, the wow was like, oh, okay, yes, fascinating.
It was understated, right? Yeah. I mean, it almost looked like a little sculpture in their hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it still had that balance of, like, bandana meets a feather. And then, the you know, the long gloves and... this season was very romantic with the fabric, with mixing, like, satin with denim and velvet. You know, those are fabrics that before I was like, I don't know. Or, like, it would be, like, more mixed media. It would be, like, kind of mixed with more of, like, a leather or, like a heavy wool. But this season I was really just, I was more in a romantic vibe of, like, you know, puffered satin was really I found that to be very attractive. And I was like, you know what, I kind of want to just tell a story of, like, this really sexy and cool, but yet street kind of badass girl. And then kind of, you know, these guys with these really cool jackets and the flexible kind of, the flexible balance between men's and women's wear, and how, you know, you can have the men's jacket, but then again, you can have the women's version. And it's all about, like, it was a lot of drawstrings. So if you wanted to, like, cinch, or if it depends on how you want to play with the piece. So I feel like the pieces are very flexible, too.
So now what's your thinking in terms of how are you going to reach your customers with these clothes?
Well, with so far as we've been getting a lot of great feedback, like the emails and also like our social media, it's been really a lot of pre-orders and also, you know, from the beginning, it's been like a small, intimate thing. Like I always, like I meet with a lot of my clients, or like I do one-to-one, appointments, and also we get a lot of like support from like the celebrity and athletes. So far it's been a lot of like the buzz has been, everyone's been going crazy about that half denim, half fur, fur coat with the graffiti. It's been a lot of like, everyone's been like, oh my God, I want that coat. And it's the same thing. Like a woman walked the show, but yet the guys is like, could you make it for me? Could you do it in black? Could you do it in, I got a call out for purple. Like this one of my clients is like, I want it in a big body, like purple, but if you could change the colors of the graffiti. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I love to hear what they think and the little things that they like, okay, some things are outrageous, but some things is just like, yeah, that's doable.
So are you doing a lot of bespoke in addition to your normal line?
It's a lot of bespoke pieces. Like I did a lot of bespoke pieces for like Halle Berry, Beyonce. I did some stuff for Justine Skye for her performance, for like Tidal, and who else? So recently,
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama
on the Ellen Show.
Yes. How can I forget that?
How could you forget?
Did a bespoke blazer for Michelle Obama, and and then the athletes, Evan Turner. I'm trying to think of everybody I did a bespoke piece for, but even Gabrielle Union, I think she owns like a bespoke piece. Yeah.
That's great.
How do you connect with all these clients? Do they find you or?
Sometimes, you know, with the internet and social media, sometimes it's like they reach out or, you know, their stylists will reach out, their personal shopper. And then sometimes it's just like me at an event. I would be at an event and then I'll be like, oh, hi, I'm Romeo. And then, oh my God, yo, I have to speak to you. Like, yes, definitely. And then we catch up and then we connect from there. It builds friendship sometimes, you know, or it's just more of just like, I love your collection. I need to see each season. I want an appointment. And, you know, we always take care of them and pamper them and make sure they're happy. So, you know, they come back. Yeah.
So is that what you're thinking of doing, like more exclusive engagements, or are you thinking of opening a store at any point? Or
Yes, definitely. But in this day, like especially in New York with retail, it's really challenging. And, you know, that would be a great, that would be a dream come true, but it all has to make sense. And I think right now is probably not the right time. And if I did open up a store right now, I think I'll open a store in China. I'll think more outside the box.
33% of all luxury retail buying is happening in China right now.
Yeah, it's booming.
It's they want the stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of my clients. So it works. I think that would be the best idea if someone came to me and said, I want to open a store. would be great.
You're from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. What's been your perspective on New York fashion and how it's changed over the last probably two decades?
The fashion industry is very interesting right now because it's not too personal, but I feel like everyone's kind of feeling the same kind of vibe, where it's like there's no rules and the respect level, no one respects each other anymore. Fast fashion, I feel like, has, they made it very, you know, in the beginning, fast fashion was cool, but at this point, I feel like it's definitely affecting business for luxury, like the luxury market. And, I feel like at this point where you have fast fashion is using the same supermodels, they're using the same influencers, they're using the same, you know, they're using the same publications. And it's a big trend right now, you know, get the look for less, where that, like, you know, back in the day, it was more like disgusting for a knockoff, or the knockoff was like, ugh, I don't have nothing to do with the knockoff. It was like a little bit more. I feel like the consumer appreciated the luxury market a little bit more, and the industry backed. And it was kind of like, I feel like the industry is in control of everything. And, you know, at this point, I feel like it's getting out of control, where it's like, you know, the luxury, like you have luxury stores that are closing. You have like big heritage brands that, you know, they had stores all over the world, and now all they only have is two stores. So it's kind of, it's really, you know, Calvin Klein shouldn't have one store. You know, so is this really, it's kind of scary. And I don't know how, you know, when will someone step in and say, hey, you know, it has to be a balance here, or you have to separate the markets, or it just can't be all together. And then with a lot of like the things on the internet now, if you guys follow Dire Prada, it's like, it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. And it's more to it. You know, a lot of big established brands, you know, they feel like they have a bigger audience and a bigger platform, and why not borrow from a young designer from Brooklyn? No one won't know. Like, you know, no one really, really wouldn't get it. And if they do look at it, they will look at it as like, oh, I'm following, I'm more knocking off their piece. Whereas really, you know, I don't have like a big design team and a big company that is like, you know, racking up these looks and these silhouettes. It's really just me staying up to like 5 a.m. in the morning, sketching these things and coming up with these ideas. Whereas, you know, a lot of established brands, they have like a full design team, a trend team, a color, you know, like they have all that. It you know, it becomes something for a young designer like me. It can be very discouraging, but yet, you know, this is my passion. Each season, I wow myself sometimes with the ideas. And when it's all together in the room, I'm like, wow, this is meant to be. And I feel like each season I always bring something to the table. It's always unexpected, because one season I could go and do neoprene, and then next season it's kind of like, oh, wow, he went satin this season. So it's kind of like, you know, I have to know what's going on with the new wave and how everything is going on with the internet. And like when I do, you know, once I go neoprene, it's going to be like five other brands that's going to go neoprene, and everyone's going to go sporty. You know, last fall I did like those really cool neoprene wetsuits with fur coats with like high gloves, and you know, I called it street glam. And then after that, it just was like everyone went into wetsuits, and it was kind of like it just got watered down. So it's like, you know, that's one thing right now. That's how I feel about the industry. I don't want to get too personal, but
you think it's going too fast, that the cycle of a creator, an innovator, mm-hmm. is putting something out and it gets off, knocked off just way too quickly?
Way too quickly. Yeah. And, you know, I remember when brands were like known for aesthetics and silhouettes and detail. And I feel like, you know, some of the, you know, the foundation of the industry is still looking for that in the young designer. But, you know, what do you want me to do if I did it like five seasons and then someone else, you know, like a big brand comes in and they do it, and it just becomes, it's all over the place now. You know, like me, I sat down and I thought about a way to make an outerwear, you know, a jacket flexible from day to night and, you know, fun. And the season after that, I seen like five other brands doing like drop waist, you know, puffers. And it was the same proportion, same kind of silhouette, same concept. And then it's not just one jacket. It would be like three jackets. That's from like, and I'm like, I know we're not thinking that much alike. You know, it cracks me up because I'm like, it's impossible that we thought like four or five jackets, the same details, you know. So it is discouraging, but yeah, it pushes you. Some people say take it as a compliment, but at this point, I'm like, whereas, you know, I don't want to name any names, but it's a lot of fashion brands that are taking it and, you know, whipping it up within a day. And I feel like I didn't even get to even sell it to my customer. My customer is distracted now because you have a you know, a pretty, you know, inexpensive price, and I'm here with, you know, from the button to the trim to, you know, I'm still touching all of my garments. I'm still making sure that I'm overseeing it. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like a lot of my clients that do shop Romeo Hunt, that's one thing that they do appreciate, is that you're still involved. You're still like, you know, you're doing your appointments, you're doing your fittings, the bespoke pieces I sketch. And most of my bespoke pieces, I find it to be a little bit more special because I don't have to put it into production. So it's kind of like, oh, you know, while I was traveling, I got this amazing fabric, and I, you know, I present it in a way that is like, oh, okay, it has a story behind it. It's, you know, it builds a connection with my client.
How did you get to do was it Nigeria and Lagos?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that come about?
So GT Bank reached out to my team, and It was, you know, once they reach out and then kind of like they pass, my team passed it off to me, I was like, this is amazing. This is very inspiring to me.
What is GT Bank? I don't know that one.
Oh, so it's a bank. It's okay. It's actually a bank.
Based here or based there?
It's based in Nigeria.
In Nigeria, mm-hmm. Okay.
And once they came up with the idea and then they showed me exactly like, you know, the setup and how they showcase. And I was like, you know, this is really great. I thought it would be a great idea for me to be a part of something like that and something to inspire, you know, because I don't always do everything just for me in a way, because I always think that there's another Romeo coming up and he's probably looking at and watching and admiring what I'm doing. And also a lot of like my the following, they love when I travel, like when I do things a little bit more outside the box and kind of like I tried my best to make my own lane, because even when I was doing international pop-ups, now that's just like a big trend, everyone's doing pop-ups all over the place. So it was like I try to be like, you know, stand out in my own way and always think of things that are not, you know, not everybody's doing it, and, you know, to create a great experience. And, you know, most of the time when we do my pop-ups, I do like a little Q&A and I get to meet a lot of the clients or the, you know, the followers. We usually do like a VIP hour. And then after that, we open up the doors to like, you know, our social media following and like our client list, you know. So just kind of like mixing all those people in the room and just kind of getting their feedback or like their reaction of seeing the pieces in person. Most of the time they usually say your pieces are actually better in person. It's like in the images don't really do anything for it. And when you see it in person, it's a lot of fine detail. And, you know, that goes back into like, you know, fast fashion versus luxury. It's like, you know, a lot of fine detail, every little detail you're paying for. So like when you see a knockoff with like just like it's almost the same thing, but it's just not really giving you the whole thing. It's kind of like makes you feel like you just got ripped off.
I mean, I guess you just have to think that the fast fashion customer just may never be your customer. Mm-hmm. And though it seems discouraging to me, it's almost encouraging that you are being copied as opposed to not being copied at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there is it's so unique what you're doing. And yet what's really to be admired is that there are aspects in that I see in your clothes that mm-hmm. really are, mm-hmm. I don't want to say, you know, not that they can be commercial, mm-hmm. but that they can have this broader appeal. Mm-hmm. And that's like genius.
Thank you.
So I think you have to kind of, it sounds like you're really just building your own following. And it is about teaching people about what a craft it is that you have and the luxury, you know, mm-hmm. luxury elements and what they're paying for. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so we have to do that more. So
the world recognizes. Do you manufacture locally or you have to go
overseas? Local. Yeah. But I feel like my point is really is just that, you know, if the industry is not really pointing these things out or really putting it out there, you know, the consumer gets very lost of like, where did you get this amazing idea? Or like, how did you come about? Or, you know, when I first started, I started off with a full collection, like with separates and plus the outerwear. So it was just more like I had to edit back just because it was a little bit too much for the customer to understand like the aesthetic and my focus. So I edit back to like just really cool outerwear pieces. And then once I edit back, it was kind of like these pieces are being knocked off everywhere. It's not just fast fashion that's just knocking off. It's a lot of great other luxury brands that right, I'm like, okay, wow, yeah. You're borrowing my ideas. And I think that they feel like, you know, at this point, everyone's taking from each other. There's no rules to it. And I feel like it needs to, it doesn't have to be, I don't feel like fashion should be taken so serious, but I think there should be a respect level.
Have you thought about doing more prints so that you're able to get that copyright thing? Because you can copyright the print and not the overall garment.
Yeah, and that gets tricky too, because it goes into like three changes and it's no longer your design. So,
well, plus you have to retain the legal team to then defend the image.
Yeah, it's a big process.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, my team is definitely tapping into it because it's getting out of control. And you know, I try, you know, what I usually do is just always be consistent with my silhouettes. Like, you may not notice it, but a lot of the silhouettes that you see walk the runway, I've done them like at least 4 or 5 times. But it just, most people, they don't really get it. And they'll be like, okay, I get it now. So a lot of the silhouettes, you know, we do like little tweaks or like, you know, try to keep it as consistent as possible, especially the styles that do really well for like the styles that are really, really popular for each season. We like to bring it back and do it again and again and just play with it, maybe make it longer, you know, just add a few of my touches to it.
So how can people see your clothing in person?
Well, most of the time now, we have on the website that you can actually set up an appointment. So it's Meet Romeo at RomeoHunt.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can actually set up an appointment, and you know, we usually set up like we usually kind of like do an edit because we can't bring the whole entire collection for everyone. So we usually just like see exactly which pieces they're interested in, like what are they looking for, and. Then they set up an appointment with me and I take them through the rack. They usually, most of the time, the reaction is like, they love, like, how do you want me to wear this? Like, style me. So, you know, a lot of the pieces are, you know, you can wear in many different ways. Like, we have an infinity jacket that you can wear in 3 different ways. So you can wear as a dress, a long trench, or you can wear as a short jacket. So that's like one of the most fun, like out of all the outerwear pieces, that's one of the silhouette that most people have a lot of fun with. Because you can even actually, one of my clients, she wears like the bottom part backwards. So it kind of has like a slit in the front and an opening in the back. And I was like, oh, wow. And she's like, yeah, I wear it by itself with the turtleneck. So, you know, I get to kind of like,
right,
oh, okay.
They inspire you too.
Yeah, they inspire me too. Because I love that too. Like, you know, I have a styling background. So that's why always is like, you know, pushing me to like say, you know, this piece, I think that we should just probably add this, you know, detail to it to just kind of give them a little bit more of a flex. Like if they didn't want to wear it one way, they can wear it another way. So I feel like that's a good selling point with me, with Romeo Hunt.
Before you got into all of this, when you were younger, mm-hmm. was there like a moment where you were like, I need to be in fashion? Was there something that was transitional for you where you just decided to jump into it?
You know, it was the age of 13. I was going back to that story. Like when I was 13, I was on a track team. I was number one on the track team at the time, and I'm also in high school. But at that time, you know, my mother needed I noticed that my mother needed support, and you know, I wanted to make something. I wanted to make her proud. You know, I wanted to do something that. That would wow her. That would kind of say, you know, you're not a basketball player and you're not a rapper. And also, I wanted to do something that's outside the box. That was just not in front of me because, like, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, it's more of like either you're a rapper or a singer or you're a basketball player or a doctor. So I just kind of went, I didn't find those things really fascinating to me. I was like, you know, I wanted to do something a little bit.
Option D, literally.
Yeah. And at the time, I didn't know how to draw. I didn't really know what I was. I kind of knew what I was doing. I started watching Full Frontal Fashion. And that's what really, you know, inspired me. Because each season, I would challenge my designs for, you know, the actual established designers. And I would kind of, like, do, like, a sketch of, like, you know, 5 or 8, 10 looks. And then, you know, I would be excited to see, like, you know, what Prada will walk down, like, what will walk the Prada runway. And then I would just kind of say, oh, wow, like, I'm on point. So, and up to this day, like, you know, like, even when I was in school, I was just doing projects. It was always on trend. Or it would be, like, something that would be, you know, seasons, like, 2, 3 seasons. I'm more of a visionary, so I like to, like, always think ahead or think of, like, what hasn't been really done. Or, you know, if I'm seeing certain fabrics and certain proportions or certain, like, trends, I'm like, okay, this I know what's going to be next. So I'm kind of, like, tapped into, like, more what's next, not what's now. So, you know, that mindset just kind of like had me just, you know, keep on going and going, and to the point that, you know, I finally made my first garment, and that inspired me to.
How old were you when you made your first garment?
I think I was like, 21, 22.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you do Parsons FIT or any of that? Or
Yeah, I studied at FIT.
Okay.
And, you know, well, that was kind of like work. It was like for school or like when I was interning or something like that. But when I actually took it serious to say, like, okay, this is actually a piece that someone needs to make, like, they're going to wear and own. It was very much like, you know, I didn't want it to be something that was like, you know, they wear and it rips apart, or, you know, they send it to the cleaners and it comes back different. So, you know.
Like fast fashion.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of like, no offense to fast fashion, but, you know.
Oh, no, please, please. I just feel like they have a step to. If you wash it, it falls apart. That's the problem with fast fashion. It's not well made.
It's not well made. And then I just feel like, you know, fast fashion could have its own look or style. You know, it's room for everything. But when it's just kind of like, you know, the Balenciaga runways and Zara's window, it's just kind of like, okay, this is, it's becoming, you know, it's just making it be a joke, you know, a joke after a while. It's kind of like, okay, this is not, you can't really take this serious.
Yeah.
No offense.
I wonder if we could just get a gang of designers together and just go bash up a Zara store or something.
Oh, great. Well, I don't think they would.
Yes, I'm encouraging vigilante justice here.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do
no,
that.
No, you're out. Okay.
Where do you like to go for to watch people?
To watch people?
Yeah, like to get ideas or...
Ideas?
Like what inspires you when you're out socially?
Just walking around. When I travel, I usually go to like the really cool hip spots. Or like, you know, a cool like a bar or just a really cute, chic place that, you know, everyone dresses up to go.
Right.
You know, and it inspires me just to see, you know, how the clothes flow and how it's worn or styled or carried, or just like a woman just walking down the street, you know, she's freezing and she has that coat and, you know, it either has some fur or like, you know, she's glammed up and she's going somewhere and she's hopping into a cab. So it's just more like street style. You know, and it could be in Brooklyn, it could be in Soho, it could be in Tribeca, it could be on the Upper East Side. It's just all over. It's just like, you know, it just kind of inspires me to see exactly, okay, you know, right now I think that my woman wants, you know, she's missing a great trench, and how can I make this trench innovative but yet still very wearable? And yeah, that's the magic. That's where the magic comes
from. It is a magic. Yeah. It's great.
Romeo, thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
To get on the guest list for our live events, go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com and look for the live shows link. AFPOD, AFPOD, is our Twitter handle, and I personally am fashion tech guru on just about everything. On Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, there's a Be a Guest form on the AmericanFashionPodcast.com website. For comments, our voicemail line is 646-979-8709. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and other episodes of the series, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.